speak tonight on the subject of the voice of Satan. The voice of Satan. Very, very important topic. Some people get a little scared when they hear that title, but I think it's important for us to look at today. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 12, and then we'll look at several scriptures tonight as we look at the words of Satan, the voice of Satan. Revelation chapter 12, as is our custom, would you read the even-numbered verses with me aloud? I'll read the odd-numbered verses through verse number 10, where we find our text. Revelation chapter number 12, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there should feed her 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." As we look at verse 10, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses us before God day and night. We're going to look tonight at the voice of Satan. Let's bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Father, we do love you. Thank you for all that you give to us. Lord, thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for the liberty which you gave this preacher. Lord, thank you for each one that was here. We pray that your word would continue to tender us. Lord, help us to carry gospel tracts and to try to tell people about a loving Savior who can save them from a burning hell. Lord, bless tonight as we study this, Lord, necessary topic in the Bible as we look at the words of Satan, his voice. We pray that you'd give us clarity and vision, Lord. Help us to use what we hear tonight to fight off his attacks, Lord. We love you. We thank you for all that you give to us. Pray you'd bless us now. I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You can believe this. I have water up here. Amen. And each one of these cups is labeled. And one says nothing. One says half empty. And this one says half full. Who's in charge of the water ministry here? I want to know. Amen. I won't mention any names, but his initials are Tom Gilbert. Amen. You know, the voice is a wonderful, special, unique gift of God. There are very few things that can affect us like the human voice. And you know, sometimes I wonder, as the Lord was walking on the earth, and in our Sunday school class, we've been studying the miracles. We're on 14 miracles, are doing our 15th when I come back from Father's Day. But I wonder what the voice of the Lord Jesus was like. I know what it's like in Revelation, how it sounds like, the Bible says, many waters and many thunderings. But I wonder how the Lord Jesus spoke. You know, you can picture it sometimes as he stood on the hill over Jerusalem and he looked over Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen gathereth her chicks, but you would not. I wonder what his voice sounded like, Brother Becker. I wonder what kind of inflections he had. I wonder how his voice quivered. When you think about that, when you think of the voice. By the way, I love to hear the voices of my family. I lost my father in December, you folks know. And one of the things I miss most is just hearing his voice. Just hearing his voice. The little nuggets of knowledge that he would give me through his voice. I love to hear my mom's voice. I love my wife's voice. I love the voice of my children. My friends, I have so many friends through college and through the ministry that I just don't get to speak to, but I could talk to them on the phone and I could hear their voice. Isn't there something therapeutic about a voice? Hearing a voice. And the idea of the human voice, it's a gift from God. I think about people that can sing. And I don't know about you, I never liked opera. Amen. I never did. I said, good gracious, what is wrong with those people? It sounds like somebody's sticking them with a knife or something. I mean, but then, have you ever tried to do opera? I mean, I can get some reasonably high notes as a man, but they can do it with massive volume and for length and time. And it's amazing what the human voice can do. It really is. And it brings joy. And by the way, we should use our voices for the cause of Christ. Amen. We mentioned this morning, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We can use our voice to tell people about the Savior. Amen. To tell them, hey, there is a city of refuge and His name is Jesus. But, you know, the voice can help, but it can also hurt, can't it? The strongest muscle in the body is not the heart. Strongest muscle in the body is the tongue. And we should use our voices to help and never to hurt, never to slander, never to gossip about someone else. Amen. We should use our voice for Christ. The voice of Satan is recorded within the pages of the Word of God. Not the inflections, but his actual words. And may I say this, the voice of Satan, when you study the Word of God, is always the voice of slander. He is constantly slandering. Slander is defined as the malicious, false, and defamatory statement or report. And I say this sums up Satan's voice. There are 346 recorded words of Satan in the Bible, and they all involve slander. All of them. They're found in Genesis chapter 3. There's 46 words there. There's Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. There's 131 words there. Matthew chapter 4, 71 words there. In the parallel account, Luke chapter 4, there's 98 words there. And we're going to look carefully at them tonight and then give you some what to do's when you hear the voice of Satan. Let's look, if we could, at Genesis chapter 3. Go there with me, if you would. Genesis chapter 3. We look at the first recorded words of Satan. And please don't feel that we're being mystical tonight. We're not talking about actually hearing the literal voice of Satan. Amen. We're talking about how God recorded His voice on the pages of His Word. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3 and verses 1 through 5. Let's read them. I don't have to read them aloud. I'll read them aloud. You follow along if you would. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The first bit of slander, point number one, the voice of Satan, he slanders God to man. In our text here, we know that this is the chronicle of the fall of man. And God simply said, he said, you can eat of every tree that is in the midst of the garden, help yourself, but the one tree I don't want you to eat of is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One tree. So Satan comes and he perverts the Word of God, which he always does. He perverts the Word of God and he says, hey, did God say that you couldn't eat of all the trees of the garden? Ladies and gentlemen, God said just the opposite. God said you could eat of all of them except one. But that's the way Satan is, isn't he? He perverts, he twists, and he slanders God to man. He slanders God to man. He slanders God's goodness. He said, hey, listen, if God was good, he'd let you eat of every tree. If God was good, he'd let you do whatever you want to do. Listen, God is good. And by the way, because he is, he keeps us from some things. Listen, I'm not a great parent. I want to be. I want to be a great parent. Brother Blanky, my 2-year-old doesn't get to play near the road. Why? Because I'm a good parent. Amen? Because I say, no, there's some things that you don't want to do. You don't want to get hit by a truck. You don't want to be maimed. So, no. And God says no sometimes. And by the way, wouldn't have Adam and Eve been a whole lot better off if they had listened to God's no? No. He slanders God's goodness. Does he do that to you? Hey, Brother Mark, if God was good to you, you wouldn't have to work 60 hours a week. If he was really good to you, you'd have everything you need. You'd have money in the bank. Listen, the devil never stops slandering God to man. Never. He does it day and night. He never stops. He slanders God's goodness. He slanders God's motives here in our text. Look at verse number 5. He says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He's slandering God's motives here. He's saying God doesn't want you to be like him. He's not a fair God. He's not a good God. He's not. He doesn't want you as his creation to be anything like him. I read Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where many Calvinists will pervert the Word of God and say that that's a saying that God has predestinated some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. It does not say that in that verse. It doesn't even come close to saying that. It says we are predestinated to be conformed into the image of His Son. In essence, God wants us to be like Him. So here, Satan slanders God to man. He slanders God's goodness. He slanders God's motives. Something else he slanders is God's severity. Look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Go over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, and you look at it there. What does God say? He says, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. As we say over and over and over, God does not put adverbs in the Bible just to fill space. When God said, Brother Jones, thou shalt surely die, you know what he meant? Thou shalt surely die. And men have been dying ever since. You see, he questions God's severity. You know, there was people here this morning. I know there was. There are people here this morning that do not believe in a literal burning hell. Can I tell you this as a preacher? I wish it weren't so. I really do. I wish it weren't. But sin is so awful to God. And you remember that next time the devil tempts you with your little pet sin, your besetting sin, the sin you think you can give into and ask forgiveness and give into. And you just remember how awful it is in the eyes of God. He questioned God's severity. He said, God, you're not going to die. But they did. They died spiritually that day, and 900 years later, Adam died physically. You see, so the devil, the voice of Satan, is all about slander. Number one, he slanders God to man. Secondly, I want you to go over to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. I remember when I first got saved, I thought it was the book of Job, that for Brother Clark. I really did. I looked at that. So that's how you spell Job. Amen. No hole in there. Job. Amen. Going to go Job hunting. Look at the classifieds to see if I can get a Job. Amen. It says he when we look at Genesis chapter 3, we find he slanders God to man. Look at Job chapter 1, look at verse 6, please. Job chapter 1, right before Psalms, I hear all those pages turning, amen? Right before the book of Psalms, amen? Amen. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, who's that? The angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And if you know your Bible at all, you know that he did not finish that verse. That verse is finished for us in 1 Peter 5:8, where it says, Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Wasn't just walking around. He was looking to kill, because that's who he is. Bible says he's a murderer from the beginning. Satan is. He said in verse 8, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance, his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Not only does Satan, in Genesis chapter 3, he slanders God to man, but in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, you can read it on your own time, he slanders man to God. He not only slanders God to man, he slanders man to God. If you look at verse 11, he slanders Job's love for God. It says, But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. In 2 weeks, I'll be preaching all day on the subject of hedges. I'll be preaching in the morning on what to do when the hedge is lifted, and then in the evening on God's hedges. And we see here that God has a hedge around Job, and Satan says, Hey, if he really loved you, you wouldn't need to put that hedge around him. He said, You let me at him. You're gonna find out. You're gonna find out if he really loves you or not. He slanders man to God. Can I tell you that the devil does that every day to you and me? He goes to God and he says, They don't love you. Look at the way they live their lives. They don't love you. Look at how little time they spend in the Word. They don't love you. They don't love you. They don't love you. Can I say this? Sometimes, sadly, the accusation is true. Let me speak for myself. Sometimes the accusation is true. But I'm so glad for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that when God sees you and me that are saved, He looks through the blood. He looks through the filter of the blood of Jesus Christ and He sees His own Son. And he says, not guilty. Not guilty. He slanders God to man. He slanders Job's love for God. Something else he does. Look at chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It says, And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. But put forth now thy hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. He not only slanders man's love, he slanders man's character, doesn't he? Slanders our character. And can I say this, that when God does allow the hedge to come down, we are truly seen for who we are. Amen? Now, listen, I don't like the idea of God tearing down the hedge, God taking down the hedge. To read the story of Job is a fearful story. And by the way, as you read the story of Job, and Job's friends. With friends like that, who needs enemies? I think that's right where that little cliche came from. Job's friend. Well, you got to be in sin. Otherwise, God would never. By the way, don't judge somebody who's going through a trial. It's none of our business. It's our business to pray. It's our business to comfort. But that person knows whether to be chastened or not. They go through a trial. He slanders man's love. He slanders man's character. He slanders man's motives. Back to chapter 1, verse 9. Look at it. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Just as he slanders God's motives, or God to man the motives, but he slanders man to God's motives. He slanders our motives and say, you know, he only serves you because you bless him. That's the only reason Job serves you. If you just take away all his oxen and cattle and sheep and even his family, he would curse you. You know, sadly, again, for many people, that's true. If God were to pull away his hedge of blessing, they would curse him just like Job's wife did. But you know what the Bible says about Job? It says that when God took away everything, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord took away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what? Satan's slander didn't work on Job. Doesn't mean he stopped trying. He slanders God to man. He slanders man to God. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 4, point number 3. He slandered the God-man. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4. I know you know the story. Look at verse number 3. Here we have the temptation of Christ and by the devil in the wilderness. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and just like you and I would be, he was very hungry. In verse number 3 it says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. By the way, that is the key word in this whole story. If. You look at it, it's over and over and over. By the way, Jesus is the Son of God. There's no if. No if. He is the Son of God. And it said there, when the tempter came and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And in this next verse, verse 4, I praise God for my King James Bible. It says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Too many versions, missing too many verses for this old preacher. I'll take the old book. Amen. Verse number 5. Then the devil taketh him up into an holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of a temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. By the way, I like that right there. Deity. Amen. Jesus said, you're tempting God. You're tempting God. I'm God. Amen. Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Get out of here. Amen. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You say, how did he slander the God-man? He slandered his provision in verse 4. He said, hey, listen, if you're really God, and again, the if is the key. If you're really God, you could make those stones into the most wonderful Panera bread that you've ever had in your life. Amen. Warm sourdough smell. You could do that if you're really God. Doesn't this remind you of when Jesus was on the cross? And what did they say? Brother Jenkins, if you're really God, come on down. Then we'll believe you. Which wasn't true, amen. Wasn't true. They wouldn't have believed him. And praise God, he didn't come off the cross. And it wasn't the nails that held him. It was love for you and me that held him there. But he slanders his provision. He slanders his protection in verse number 6. He said, hey, if you're really God, why don't you cast yourself down here? Because we all know what Psalm 91, 11 and 12 says, that he'll give his angels charge concerning thee. They won't let you fall if you're really God. And he slanders God's purpose, doesn't he? Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Say, Jesus came and He lived and He suffered and He endured everything that you and I would endure. That was part of the purpose of God. Satan slandered. It's always about slander. He slanders God to man, he slanders man to God, and he slanders the God-man. Now let me give you some practical points here, four or five practical points. What should you do with the voice of Satan? When the devil gets in your ear and starts his unholy attacks, you say, does he do that to you, Pastor? All the day long and most of the night. Amen. Tries to get us to compromise. Tries to give us to give in to temptation. Tries to get us to sin by slandering God. By slandering Christ. You say, what should we do? Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 44. Let me give you four or five practical things that we can do here. John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, one of the great chapters in the Bible, starts out with a woman taken in adultery and ends up with the great I Am. Amen. Verse 44, an important verse in the Word of God. The first thing you need to do when you hear the voice of Satan is remember he is a liar. Remember he is a liar. Young people, listen to me. The devil is not your friend. He's a liar. He wants your destruction. That's what he wants, and all God's people said. That's what he does. He ruins lives. He may give you something, but it's always because he wants something from you. Look at John chapter 8, verse 44. "Ye are of your father, the devil." Jesus talking to the Pharisees here. "And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So when you hear the voice of Satan, when Satan comes to you and he says, God is not being good to you, God is not being fair to you, remember he is a liar. He's a liar. God is good all the time because that's who He is. Satan is a liar all the time because that's who he is. But he's very subtle and he's very clever, and there are people by the millions who believe his lies. There are people that sit in churches that believe his lies. So when you hear the voice of Satan and it's slandering God, remember he's a liar. Secondly, go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Love to hear those pages rustling. Sounds like an oak tree on a fall day. Amen. Remember, he is a liar. Secondly, recognize his methods. Recognize his methods. Chapter number 2 of 1 John, his methods are described in verses 15 and 16. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And listen, take heart of that verse, young people. You love the world more than you love God. It says, the love of the Father is not in you. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you do not love God. Verse 16, "For all that is in the world," and here's the methods, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." See, Satan only has three hooks. Listen, you fishermen know this. If you've got bait and a good fishing hole, and you don't need anything else, why use anything else? Satan has got every man that ever lived, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, with these three hooks. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And so we recognize his methods, the fact that he's going to use the lust of your flesh. That's why the Bible says you need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You need to put the flesh down that the Spirit could rise up. He has the lust of the flesh. He has the lust of the eyes. That is the one of our day, if I could be so blunt. I see it. I want it. I don't care about the consequences. And then he has the pride of life. You see, this is going to elevate me to position and to a prideful place, the pride of life. Recognize his methods. Listen, we all know our weak points. And Satan knows our weak points. And he desires to use those to destroy us. So when we hear the voice of Satan that's slandering God, remember he's a liar. Recognize his methods. Go to Jude, book of Jude. No, we'll not read the whole book tonight. Amen, church? Amen? That's Wednesday night. Amen? Go to Jude chapter 1. Amen? If you go to Jude chapter 2, let me know how it turns out. Jude. I guess you could call it chapter 9. Amen? Look at verse 9 of Jude. It says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, and this is our verse for this week, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Remember, he's a liar. Recognize his methods. Rebuke him in the name of Christ. Rebuke him in the name of Christ. And by the way, listen to me, you are no match for Satan. No, listen, no contest. Not even for the lowest of his imps, of his fallen angels, can you match up. But you've got an elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he can take on anybody, and rather than, as I've heard some preachers talk about, old smutty face and the old stupid dumb devil and all that, I'd rather take Michael's approach, the Lord rebuke thee. Listen, I don't have any strength in myself, but the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. The Lord rebuke thee. Rebuke him in the name of the Lord. Listen, honestly, I heard the story and I remember doing it myself. Where you're driving along and you're driving along. It's almost like Satan is in the passenger seat. And you're driving along and you just get to the point where you've just had enough. Pull the car over. Amen. Pull the car over, Brother Boston. I pulled it right over. Walked around to the other side. Opened the door. Get out. And people must have thought I was nuts, and I probably was. Amen. I said, get out. The Lord rebuke thee. I'm sick of hearing you slandering my God. You see, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to rebuke him in Jesus' name. Rebuke him in the name of Christ. Let me give you another one. Go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Revelation chapter 20. And this is probably my favorite of the practical points. Remember, he's a liar. Recognize his methods. Rebuke him in the name of the Lord. And then chapter 20, verse 10. Remind him of his nearing end. Remind him of his nearing end. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. When he comes and slanders God, remind him of his nearing end. Remind him that the sands are moving through the hourglass. Amen? Amen? They're not stopping. Remind him that time is a ticking. Amen? Because he is going to have the most awful, the most heinous, the most terrible end of all ends. And it just keeps on moving. That's why we talked about hell today. Ladies and gentlemen, every second people go to hell. It's important that we do something. But when the devil comes and he talks to you and he gets in your ear and he's trying to slander God and he's trying to discourage you and he's trying to defeat him, remind him that his days are numbered. Amen? The Lord is going to cast him into the lake of fire one day and it's going to be all over. I like that point, Brother Jeff. Amen? Listen, remind him of his nearing end. And probably the most important thing to do when you hear the voice of Satan. Remember, he's a liar. Recognize his methods. Remind him of his nearing end. Rebuke him in the name of the Lord. Read him the Word of God. I'm confessing, okay? It's good. Amen. You need to hear your pastor. We don't have a confessional here, but it's right out in the open tonight. I've doubted my salvation many times. Many times. Because the devil gets in your ear. Young people, listen to me. Just because you sin doesn't mean you're not saved. Because a Christian can sin. Listen, I'm not advocating it. I'm not pretending it's okay. But I know this, when a Christian does sin, the first thing he loses is his assurance. And the devil gets in and says, no way. Forget it. There's no way you are saved. Because here's the thing, if he can't have your soul, he'd like to get you to be so ineffective for Christ that you could never be used. And so he'll get in your ear and say, no, you're not saved. There's no way you could think that and still be saved. There's no way you could do that and really, really be a child of God. And I say, really? Well, Mr. Devil, again, I appreciate you riding my car to work today. And nice to have you. But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, what was the method that Jesus used to beat back the devil? It was the Word of God. It was the Word of God. And so when the devil comes to you and he says, you're not saved. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on them that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life, John 5:24 says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10:27-30. By the way, this is why it's important, not for just for young people to memorize the Word of God, but for people, regular people, middle-aged people, older people, to memorize the Word of God. Why? Because the devil never lets up. He never lets up. He's always in your ear. He's always telling you about how bad God is to you and how there's no way you could possibly be saved. And listen, we need to depend not on our feelings, because our feelings are fickle. We need to depend on the Word of God. It's the Word of God that is the only offensive weapon in the armor that God gives us. It's the sword of the Spirit, which we can just keep poking the devil and keep poking the devil. And like he did with Jesus, it says there in Matthew chapter 4 that he left him for a season. For a season. And I'm glad for those seasons. But you got to read him the Word of God. The reason why Satan continually attacks and he almost puts up a campsite in your eye. You say, well, I know the Word of God. Do you read it aloud to him? That's like literally, Pastor John, somebody breaking into my house and they come and want to do my wife harm, and I say, I've got a gun, but I never pull it. And I never shoot it. Listen, we need to shoot the Word of God. Shoot it out, amen? Let the devil know, hey, the Word of God says you're a liar. The Word of God says you're a murderer. The Word of God says I'm a child of God. I'm His child. Remember, he's a liar. Recognize his methods. Rebuke him in the name of the Lord. Remind him of his nearing end and read him the Word of God. The voice of Satan is real, ladies and gentlemen. He's one angel. I understand that. I hope you understand the premise of what I'm getting at tonight. But he has his legions, doesn't he? They go out and they do his bidding and they speak his word, if we could say it that way. Listen, God is greater. We serve the mighty Savior, the God of all the universe. And he slanders God to man, and he slanders man to God, and he slanders the God-man, and he accuses us day and night, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, until his end. And praise God, there is an end. I want to help you tonight. What do I do, Pastor? Remember, he's a liar. Recognize his methods. Rebuke him in the name of the Lord, remind him of his nearing end, and read him the Word of God. It'll help you to defeat the attacks and onslaughts of the devil. Let's pray tonight. Father, we love you.